Ezekiel chapter 27 this evening. We are in the middle of the Lord speaking about the nations that surround Israel. They were rejoicing in the destruction of Jerusalem and Israel and Judah. And they had their own sins to account for, and the Lord is going to judge them. We've already talked about, I think it was chapter 25, he mentioned many of the nations, particularly the ones that were on the east and west coast there, Philistia, and then I think he said Moab and Edom and Ammon, those nations on the east side there, Philistia on the west and the south. And then in chapter 26, he turned his attention to Tyre. And we looked at the prophecy that was given to Ezekiel, and we saw how much of that was fulfilled. He goes on talking about Tyre in chapter 27 and in chapter 28. Chapter 28, interesting, where he talks about the king of Tyre, the prince of Tyrus. And it sounds a lot like Satan. And that's, we'll look at that when we get there. Then he's going to take a few chapters in Egypt. But we're right in the middle of talking about Tyre. And he's going to give us in this chapter a lot of locations, a lot of peoples, and a lot of things. So that's what we're going to focus on. I have a map to show you in just a few minutes to show you some of these things. But you know, I'm learning more and more that God, the more I just accept the way God wrote it, the more understanding I'm going to have of it, of course. Sometimes, oftentimes, preachers or books or things, they try to fit things to fit us. They take scriptures and try to make a lesson, some kind of moral out of every little thing, which, not bad to apply it to your life, of course. But there's so much in scripture that is information that we need to take, correlate, understand it, and then we can apply it to the rest of scripture. We can apply it, and it gives us great understanding of, well, just to say, as we go through Ezekiel, we're getting a taste of some of these things, but then you'll be able to go into Isaiah and say, well, he's saying a lot of the same things in Isaiah, and you'll already have a context, a groundwork to work with. Same thing in the minor prophets, same thing in Jeremiah and all these other books where the content is very similar or related. And so getting understanding it as he wrote it, that's our goal tonight. We won't find, I'm not going to talk about a lot of you know, how does this apply to us today? It's going to be more of, well, going back to history class, right? High school history. Not quite that detailed. He says in verse 1 of chapter 27, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, now thou son of man, take up a lamentation for Tyrus, and say unto Tyrus, O thou that art situate at the entry of the sea, which art a merchant of the people for many isles, thus saith the Lord God, O Tyrus, thou hast said, I am of perfect beauty. Thy borders are in the midst of the seas. Thy borders have perfected thy beauty. They have made all thy shipboards of fir trees of Senir. They have taken cedars from Lebanon to make masts for thee. Of the oaks of Bashan have they made thine oars. The company of the Asherites have made thy benches of ivory, brought out of the isles of Chittim. Fine linen with broidered work from Egypt was that which thou spreadest forth to be thy sail. Blue and purple from the isles of Elisha was that which covered thee. The inhabitants of Zidon and Arvad were thy mariners. Thy wise men, O Tyrus, that were in thee, were thy pilots. The ancients of Gebal and the wise men thereof were in thee, thy caulkers. All the ships of the sea with their mariners were in thee to occupy thy merchandise. They of Persia and of Lud and of Phut were in thee, or were in thine army. Thy men of war, they hanged the shield and helmet in thee. They set forth thy comeliness. The men of Arvad with thine army were upon thy walls round about, and the Gamadims were in thy towers. They hanged their shields upon thy walls round about. They have made thy beauty perfect. I'm going to stop there. Today, we'll only cover those 11 verses. It won't take us very long. We're just going to look at some of these things. In verses 12 through, I think it's 26, he talks about the different countries that they traded with. And we'll look at those perhaps next time. So it's a lamentation. So in the first part, he's setting up all the situation that Tyrus was in and how glorious it was. And then in the latter part, he's going to talk about how it's destroyed. And so we'll look at that next time. But here he begins with the instructions to Ezekiel, as we see in most chapters, and even in the middle of chapters when he's beginning a new prophecy or beginning a new part, a new heading. Then existed the expression of Yihyah unto me to saying of, and you, son of man, lift upon Tyre a lamentation. Then you will say to Tyre, the one dwelling upon the entry or the going in of the sea, trading the peoples unto many coasts. Thus said the Lord Yihyah. That word isle and coast, it's also used not just of islands, but it's also used of coasts, of lands that are not islands. So it's a little broader than just islands. And we mentioned that last week. But he says, this is what you need to say to Tyre. Tyre, you, and it's emphatic. He says, you, with a pronoun, and then he says, you said, I exist. The completion of beauty. Completion of beauty. Perfect in beauty. In the midst of waters, he talks about. Literally, it's the word of heart. In the heart of waters existed your borders. Your builders completed your beauty. Literally. So, interesting. So he's talking about how they were the beautiful city. You do a project or you have something that you just love and you just made it perfect, right? I made it perfect. And it's just how it should be and you love it. It's great. Maybe you haven't had that, but you know people that they spend their time working on something until it's perfect. And the people of Tyre, they felt like their city was the emblem of perfection. It's complete. We are a wonderful city. People like us, and we trade, and we have things from all over the world. Why? Because we go out and trade, and we're a rich city. We make other people rich as well. We're powerful. We're strong. And so they were excited about who they were. In verses 4, the second part of verse 4 to verse 7 talks about the shipbuilding of Tyre, because that was pretty important to them. In the latter part of verse 4, he says, thy borders are in the midst of the seas, thy builders have perfected thy beauty. They have made all thy shipboards of fir trees of Senir. So, fir trees from Senir, they build to you the entirety of boards. And I did look up that, fir is a main kind of wood that people use for building these ships. But it's fir trees from Senir. Where is Senir? Let me go ahead and put my first slide up here, and I'll try and step to the side here. Fir trees from Senir. Now, let me read a verse to you. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 9. He says, talking about Hermon, he says, which Hermon, the Sidonians, that's the people of Zidon, the Sidonians call Syrian, and the Amorites called Shinir. Shinir. Okay, so they're getting their wood from Shinir. Deuteronomy says the Amorites call Mount Hermon Shinir, and it's the Zidonians call it, what do they call it? Syrian. So they had different names for Hermon. Mount Hermon is the tallest mountain in that region, tallest mountain in Israel. Today, it's on the border of Lebanon, Syria, and Israel. And they all have a chunk of it. And there's ski slopes, and it has snow on it year-round, I believe. So in this picture here, which I've been impressed with Google Earth. I know I live under a rock, but I actually use it now because I've seen that it's pretty amazing. You can tilt and you can get a good view of things. You can get even a better view than this, but I wanted to try and get all of these things in one shot. So as you're looking at this picture, I put in here, I labeled the Sea of Galilee way down there. So that can give you an orientation. The Sea of Galilee is there. North is up this way. And so here's the town of, or the city of Tyre. It's right there. And so they're getting their fir trees, it says, from Senir. That would be Mount Hermon up here, okay? And that's very high in elevation, higher than the rest of these things. Hard to see from this perspective. That's where they get their fir trees. Maybe, and don't know for sure, in scriptures it talks about, it uses both of these terms side by side. Deuteronomy says, the Amorites called it Senir, and the people of Zidon, they called it Syrian, and others called it Hermon. So it sounds like in Deuteronomy that they're just renaming the same thing. But in other scriptures, it's as if he uses Senir and Hermon, two separate things, which people have thought, well, maybe it has to do with the different peaks of Mount Hermon, because there are about three relatively the same height peaks. I say relatively. One's actually a few hundred feet higher. And if you look at Mount Hermon, people say it's not really a mountain, it's a mountain range. I mean, it's kind of a big thing here with several peaks. So people think maybe these are different peaks of that. Maybe. Okay. Interesting. But it has to do with Mount Hermon there. So they're getting their fir trees from Mount Hermon. By the way, as you go and look at Israel today, what does it look like? To me, it looks like some kind of barren wasteland desert. Because it's like in the West. If you go out west, you can see for miles, flat land, you can just see all out there. And if you look at pictures and you're standing on a hill, you can just see everywhere. But I think it's clear from Scripture that Israel used to be very wooded, very wooded. And they had lions and bears and all sorts of animals. And we were reading about 1 Kings, about what Solomon had to eat. I mean, you got to have animals then. Where are the animals going to live? And many people will say, yes, Israel was very highly wooded area. Some of the choice wood apparently is up on Mount Hermon. So they got their fir trees for their ships over there. Then they say in the next phrase here, talking about the cedar from Lebanon they took to making of masts, a mast upon you. So don't know for sure, but probably this Mount Lebanon region right here, just to the north of them. It's a raised, kind of like a plateau over here. So they got their trees for masts here in Lebanon. The trees of Lebanon, they're famous. I mean, Solomon talked about the trees of Lebanon. The Lord uses them as an illustration. And as you will compare, if you go through the Psalms or Proverbs and look up where the trees of Lebanon are mentioned, you'll get an idea of them. To us, we think redwood trees. They're huge. They're the glory of trees. For these people, the trees of Lebanon were definitely the glory. And they would use these for their masts. And so apparently they were straight and tall and strong. Then he talks about oaks from Bashan. They made your oars. So they used oak wood for their oars. Now, Bashan. You can see I have a way over there in the red, that big patch. Bashan's really a region, not so much a particular town or a location in that way. It's a region, which if you're looking at a regular map of Israel, it's going to be on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, on the eastern side of the Jordan River, and you'll have the Dead Sea. So you have the Dead Sea, and then you're going to have Gilead is a general region there. And then north of Gilead is Bashan. Let me read you a little bit from Zondervan Atlas of the Bible, where he says this: Bashan is a high plateau region located in the northeastern corner of Israel, measuring some 37 miles east-west by 56 miles north-south. It is bounded on the west by the Rift Valley, on the north by Mount Hermon, on the east by Mount Bashan, while on the south it eventually merges into Gilead. Running down its center in a north-south direction are several rows of extinct volcanoes whose conical shapes break up the relatively flat terrain. So it's a plateau, And it goes all the way up, probably could go up in my coloring there, it could go up a little bit further, the north to Mount Hermon there, the base of it. Now, again, he talks about Bashan having a lot of extinct volcanoes. And we know that volcanic soil is very rich, very fertile. That's partly why those of Manasseh and Gad, they thought, hey, we want to stay on this side. This is a great place for our cattle, great place for our animals. That's why in Psalm 22, the Lord says, many bulls have compassed me about, strong bulls of Bashan. Now, Bashan, they're well grazed. They have good food, which means they're strong. Okay, that's the emphasis of Bashan. So Bashan would be a place you would want to have your plants, your animals, because it's very fertile ground. But apparently as well, it had some woods, and that's where it says that they got their oaks for the oars of their ship. So they had fir for the main part of the ship. They had the cedar of Lebanon for their mast. They had the oaks of Bashan for their oars. They're using the best. They're going to be using the best because they dominate the seas. Then it's interesting where he says in the next part, literally, your bench they made ivory. Let me grab this right here and I'll step aside. So I think it's in verse 6? He says, of the oaks of Bashan have they made thine oars. The company of the Asherites have made thy benches of ivory. The company. Now, the word there is actually the word that's just a regular word for the daughter of Asher. And Asher, in some places, is translated Asher. In most places, it's translated Assyria. It's the same exact word. The Assyrians. The daughter of the Assyrians, the daughter of Asher. He says here that they made the benches, the bench of ivory of the Isles of Chittim, which is interesting. So from the isles or from the coasts of Kithim. Asher is the same word for Assyrian, same Hebrew word. Where did they come from, the Asherites? Genesis 10:22 in the Table of Nations here, you have the children of Shem, right? Noah had Shem, Ham, Japheth. Well, of the children of Shem, by the way, that's where the Semitic comes from, Shem. Then you have Elam, Asher, Arphaxad, Lud, and Aram. Okay, these people became the fathers of many nations. That we would know of anciently, like Elam. Elam would be over there just north and east of Babylon. Elam would be in ancient Israel or ancient Middle East. You also have Asher, the Assyrians, ancient and powerful nation would come from Asher. Then you have Arphaxad, and I believe it was through Arphaxad. Eventually you have Selah, you have Terah. Well, you have Eber, Terah, I'm probably missing a few, but eventually you get down to Abraham. Then there's Lud, we'll talk about him. Then there's Aram. Aram is the father of those who live in Syria. Syria, in the scriptures, the Hebrew word is Aram, for Aram, and it's translated Syria. Okay, so the Asherites, they're one of the early nations from Asher, the man named Asher, who was the son of Shem. That's where they came from. And they lived up there in the Fertile Crescent area. Now, the Kittim, who are they? He says that they did this in the Isles of Kittim. In Genesis 10, 4 through 5, it says this, and the sons of Javan, then he says, Elisha, and Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim, by these the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families, in their nations. So, interesting. So all of those people were the children of Javan. Javan was a son of, or a grandson, I think he was a son of Japheth, okay, of Noah. Now, Yawan, that's the Hebrew name, Javan, Yawan. Yawan in scriptures is often translated, like in Daniel, it talks about the Greeks. It says Greek. Well, it's the Hebrew word is Yahwan. Yahwan, that's where we get Ionian. If you're looking at ancient Greece, they call them Ionians because it comes from his name, Yahwan. And that's where the Greeks come from. And we know where the Greeks live. I don't have a picture of it, I don't think, in my slides here. You know that they're just, you can see probably the tail there of the southern part of Greece up there. But, so these are the people, the progenitor of those who are of Greece, of Greek background, these Yahwanites. And so these Kittim that we're talking about, apparently they're some of the ones who would inhabit some of these islands and these regions here in this area. In fact, that's what he said in that verse that I read in Genesis 10, verse 5. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families, in their nations. So there's many little different nations divided of these Yahwanites, and they lived up in this region of Europe, the northern part of the Mediterranean Sea. So with that being said, he says here about their bench. Your bench they made ivory, the daughters of the Asherites from the coasts of Kittim. The bench. By the way, so let me, before I get too far here, let me take a, oops, I lost my connection. We're going to get streamlined with the technology here someday. There we go. Okay. I want to talk about their ships a little bit. We don't have any pictures, by the way, of their ships. Nobody had a camera, I guess. But this is supposedly to be an inscription or a relief of a picture of a boat from the Phoenician boat. And so this region that we're talking about, Tyre, Sidon, Lebanon, would be considered Phoenicia. And this was a relief depicting a Phoenician ship around 700 BC. That's what they say, which is interesting. You might not be able to see it very well, but it's kind of interesting. You can see here, they have a lot of people in there, and they have their oars. And no motors, of course, the oarsmen, they're the ones keeping the boat going. And subtly you can see they have different levels of oars. There's different levels of oars. And this guy is not holding this oar, he's holding that oar. So there was also different levels too of oarsmen. You have oarsmen up here, oarsmen down here. And in fact, they believe there were three levels at this time, three levels of oarsmen. One down low, one up here. They would offset their oars, which is very interesting. Here's another relief a little later. This might be off of a Greek. And again, it may be hard from where you're at, but you can see that there are other oars here, different levels. But the top level, you can actually see the men oaring, rowing there. So they've made a model of a ship. They call it the Olympia, I believe, based off the Greek. Again, it's a little later, but this is supposed to be a model based off of the Greek idea of these ships. I can't think of the name that they call them, the ones with the three tiers. But you can see they have three levels here. There's oar here, oar there, oar up there. And the men would sit up here on the top that we could see in the picture, and then you'd have these other levels as well. And so those would be the men oaring, rowing the boat. Okay. So let's go back. So these ships. So, by the way, the men rowing, they sit. So what are they sitting on? Well, he says they're sitting on ivory. Can you imagine that? Ivory? You feel like you're in a king's palace. But their ships were magnificent. Their ships were wonderful. They had ivory for a bench. They had the cedar of Lebanon for their mast. They had the oaks of Bashan. These are the best of the best here. Oaks of Bashan for their oars. They had the fir for their ship, for the main part of their ship. What else do they need for a ship? Well, you need sales, right? And that's something else that he mentions here. In, I think it's verse 7, where he says, "Fine linen with broidered work from Egypt was that which thou spreadest forth to be thy sail. Blue and purple from the isles of Elisha, that was that which covered thee." So, and that reads similar to parallelism there. So he's probably talking about the same idea. Perhaps even their sails were purple. I mean, you think it's very expensive to have something purple. Were your sails purple? You know, that would be a big statement. Everybody that sees that out there says, oh, that's from Tyre, because they were able to do this. That would be very interesting. I mean, they're the perfection of beauty. At least that's what they said. So fine linen with broidered work from Egypt, and we know where Egypt is down here. So they had all these resources from different locations. It's a sail, a standard, a banner. But in the context, I believe it's clearly for their sail. Now, this purple and violet from the coasts of Elisha existed your covering. Again, who is this Elisha? Genesis 4, I just read it, Genesis 10, 4 and 5, the sons of Yawen. The first one was Elisha. And you have Tarshish, Kittim, Dedanim, okay? And these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands. Because of the connection, especially here with Egypt, in parallelism, perhaps people believe, these people of Elisha were the Libyans. So they were here on the coast, yes, but over here, the Libyans. And perhaps that was the case. So, we talked about their ships. I mean, their ships were something to behold. If it was true that they had ivory benches and their sails were purple, violet, that it says blue and purple, that blue is perhaps a very dark violet color. And that was their sails, and they had the best of the best wood, strong. This is pretty amazing. Again, there are so many things that in our own day and age, every generation, they have their things that wows them. Or maybe groups of people. Somebody sees a Lamborghini go down the road. Everybody stops and looks at the amazing car. Or if they said, wow, our vice president's going to be at the airport. Everybody's going to go down there and see him. Or whatever it is, something big, something amazing, something that oohs and wows. Well, those of Tyre, they would ooh and they would wow the people. I mean, wow. They're a powerful nation, strong, rich. But you don't just need ships, you need personnel. And that's the next part. He talks about the personnel of their navy and their army here. If you look at verse 8, he says this, "And the inhabitants of Zidon and Arvan were thy mariners. Thy wise men, O Tyrus, that were in thee, were thy pilots." The inhabitants of Zidon and Arvad were thy mariners. So the ones dwelling in Zidon and Arvad existed. Now, mariners. It's going to use the word mariners a few different times, and it translates the same word for different Hebrew words. This Hebrew word is the idea of going around like this. They're the rowers, okay? The rowers would be the men of Zidon. Again, Sidon is just north of Tyre there in Phoenicia. And then Arvad as well. Now, who is Sidon? What's the history of Sidon? Well, Canaan, who was of Ham, Shem, Ham, Japheth, Ham. Then you have Canaan. Canaan begot Sidon. Sidon was his firstborn. And then there was Heth. And then there were all the Jebusites and Girgasites and Perizzites. All of those guys of Canaan. They're all called Canaanites, but Sidon was the first Canaanite. The Canaanites inhabited from Sidon up in the north all the way down to, it says, to the plains of Zoar, there with Sodom and Gomorrah. That was all where the Canaanites dwelt, and so that's called the land of Canaan. But there were different family groups in the land of Canaan. One of them was the Sidonians, and they were the first. The Sidonians here are the rowers for Tyre, but also Arvad, those of Arvad. And again, according to Zondervan's Bible Atlas, which is, if you need a Bible Atlas, I recommend it. It seems really good, not too expensive, and you can get it for free download if you want to look at it on your computer, a PDF version. But Arvad, it's an island or an island city located 2.5 miles off the Syrian coast. It's famous for its powerful fleets, they say. So it's just a little bit off of the Syrian coast up there in the north, Arvad is. The inhabitants, it says, of Sidon and Arvad were the rowers of their ship. Okay. Then he talks about the wise ones here. In verse 8, thy wise men, O Tyrus, that were in thee were thy pilots, your wise ones. Tyre existed. Your wise ones, Tyre, existed in you. They existed your pilots. Literally, it comes from the idea of rope. They're rope ones, rope men. They're the sailors. They're the ones on the ship. They're not rowing the ship. They're the ones doing all the other things on the ship. And then you have here, verse 9, the ancients of Gebal and the wise men thereof were in thee, thy caulkers. So your wise ones, Tyre, the ones that were in Tyre, existed in you. They existed, the old ones of Gebal and her wise ones existed in you, the ones causing, literally, strengthening of your breach. Strengthening of your breach. And you can see how the idea of caulkers kind of comes in. So they're the ones who are repairing ships, fixing ships. You got a breach in a ship. You take it over to the wise men, the old ones, of Gebal. They had their whole thing planned out here. Again, Zondervan's Bible Atlas talks about Gebal being a Phoenician city north of Israel on Phoenician coast, not conquered by Israel, though part of Canaan. Solomon secured timber for temple from there. You can see in 1 Kings 5:18, and men of Gebal served as, quote, shipwrights, and he references this passage. On Mediterranean coast, 18 miles northeast of Beirut, also called, today it's called Bablos. And I have that on the map here. Let's see, is it on this one? It is not. Let me go to the next one. I think it's on the next one here. Okay. So as you're looking here, you see the Sea of Galilee. There's Tyre. There's Bashan over there. Then you have Mount Hermon in the north. Mount Lebanon, that raised region up in Lebanon. There's Beirut. You can see it's the modern-day capital of Lebanon. And then north of that is Gebal. And in Gebal, there were the old ones, the ancient ones. And they're the ones that are, they're closing up the gaps in these ships. They're the millwrights. They're fixing up the ships. The ancient ones, the old ones. Interesting. So the entirety of the ships of the sea and the mariners, again, that's a different word, kind of the idea of, I believe, salt water men, maybe, but mariners. They existed in you to trading of your merchandise. So they had all these people that existed in them. This was their thing, trading merchandise, going from place to place and transporting goods. Then you have those in the army. It's called the army here. If you look at verse number 10, it says, they of Persia and of Lud and of Phut were in thine army, thy men of war. They hang the shield and helmet in thee. They set forth thy comeliness. So, Persia. Again, Persia is east of Babylon, south of Elam. I don't have a picture of it, but we have a general idea. Ancient Persia would have been where Iran is today, only probably in the western, southwestern part of Iran, right there on the Persian Gulf. So you have Persia, But also you have Lud. Lud comes in Genesis 22. The children of Shem, Shem, Ham, Japheth. Shem, you have Elam. You have Asher, Arphaxad. Lud was one of them as well, and Aram. And then you have Put, or Phut here, Genesis 10:6. And the sons of Ham, Ham, Shem, Japheth, so you have Ham, his sons were Cush, Mizraim. Mizraim is Egypt, and Phut, and Canaan. So this perhaps, this is a name here for one of the sons of Ham. And let me just go back a second here. Yes. So these people here, he says, these people existed in your strength. Literally, the word is the idea of strength, preserving strength. And you can see how that can be applied to an army, because an army is strong. And if it's not strong, it's not much of an army. So they're the strong ones. And the parallelism here, he talks about men of your battle, men of your war. He talks about shield and helmet. They caused to hang in you. So they hung their shields and their helmets. They gave your ornament. The sons of Arvad, we talked about them, that island off the Syrian coast. The sons of Arvad and your strength upon your wall round about. And then he says this, and the Gamadim in your high places or your towers, they existed. Their shields, they hung upon your walls round about. They completed your beauty. So that's a literal descriptive translation of that. All of these people here. So these, again, are the personnel of their navy, their mariners, and also here their army, the strong ones. And they had people from different locations here. And so that brings us up here. He says, at bottom of verse 11, they have made thy beauty perfect. And it's emphatic. He says, they completed, finished your beauty. So, wow. So this is just gives you a little picture of the glory of Tyre, their significance in this land. We're not going to cover the rest tonight. We're going to be done here. But in verses 12 through 26, he's going to talk about all the places that they went as merchants. And they go and they trade. They had great influence, and God is going to make them not remembered. It's the same thing in Babylon. He said the same thing to Babylon. Babylon was so great, the glory of the world. And now no one's going to inhabit that land, and no one does anymore. You can go and look at it. It's just ruins. Pretty amazing. All those who are exalted, God will bring down low. And there's so much there. Any questions or thoughts about any of the things we've covered here? Okay. All of this is important and valuable. I hope you see that. And it's not valuable because I said it's valuable. It's valuable because God put it in there. And if you don't understand it, then you don't understand what God gave you. So we have wonderful tools today that we can use in studying the scriptures. And I'm so glad that we can do these things. Scratching the surface, but hopefully give you a better idea of the magnitude and the glory of Tyre. Dear Lord, as we meditate on these things, we think about them, we tuck them away in our minds, perhaps. I pray, Lord, I ask you that you would help us. Help us to love your word and to love what you're teaching us, and help us to see how these things apply in all these different ways. Help us as we think on those we should be praying for, and we ask you these things in Christ's name. Amen.